We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I am joined by my co-host, Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on the X app, you know, formerly known as the Bird app, formerly known as Twitter, at Dalton_Trigg, at Coach Drew 33. Guys, it was a crazy Thursday. Not only did we have the NBA trade deadline and the Mavs just, per usual, Nico Harrison, I saw somebody on Twitter post something yesterday that said his nickname is Nico Pull the Trigger Harrison because he just had he's very aggressive with this kind of stuff, and we've seen it every single year at the trade deadline with him as the general manager. He makes a big splash every single time, so next year around this time we will expect nothing less, because that's what's happened for the first three seasons with him as general manager. So we'll get into all that. Very exciting stuff. PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. But before we do that, just want to talk about that that Mavs-Knicks game that happened last night. It's like, yeah, believe it or not, there was actually a, a basketball game to be played on Thursday night after all the drama of the trade deadline. But the Mavs, they played the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. They had a really good performance from Luka, 39 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists. He had 4 steals and a block. He was locked in defensively. He had a crazy wraparound pass, no wraparound pass between like 3 defenders to get the ball to Dwight Powell for an easy layup. Just insane stuff. You know, Josh Green, he was playing like a man that was free from trade rumors. And glad to be back, or glad to not be going anywhere, I guess. He had, you know, several good plays in transition, including a thunderous tomahawk dunk that had the MSG crowd just going like, ooh, ah.
Yep.
So, he was great. He had 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Kyrie, it really wasn't his great – it wasn't his best game. I mean, he only shot 7 of – 17, had 16 points, but he did have 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was a plus 12 on the night. So good stuff from him. Derrick Jones Jr., who has been in a major slump lately, broke out of that. He had 18 points and 5 rebounds. So overall, it was a really good team effort. Tim Hardaway Jr. against his former team. It seems like he always lights up the Knicks when he plays them again. He had 19 points off the bench, and he was a plus 11. You know, well, when he's hitting his threes, that's usually what happens. He was 5 of 10 on that. So overall, really good game. The Knicks were down several key players, including Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle, who kills the Mavs. Julius Randle just destroys the Mavs every time he plays them. But the Mavs were also down Derek Lively. So, you know, it was a game the Mavs should have won. They did win, and now they're 29-23 on the year, and they've won 3 consecutive games with the All-Star break approaching, which will be incredible, because they'll have a chance to finally get completely healthy. You have a chance to maybe squeeze in a few practices with the new guys and try and develop that chemistry as fast as you can, which I think will be seamless based on their skill sets. But it's a good time for the Mavs right now. It seems like everything is trending up. But before we get into the trade deadline stuff, DJ, what do you think about that Knicks game specifically?
You know, I mean, yeah, the Knicks were dilapidated, but like you said, we were missing some pretty key pieces as well. And give the Knicks credit, specifically Dante DiVincenzo. Holy hell, man.
Flamethrower.
Freaking scorching. And he can do that. He has the capability to do that. I mean, he's been doing that since he was a high schooler in Delaware. So, I mean, you know, overall, I mean, you can't discount a win at this point. Any win's a good win, as far as I'm concerned, especially right before the trade deadline, maybe not the trade deadline, the All-Star break. It was after the trade deadline. You're going to have to edit that out. But anyway, any win's a good win. And hopefully we can go in to the All-Star break with some momentum, and hopefully we can get everybody healthy. Hopefully, like you said, we can kind of gel everybody, all the new people together. And like you said, I think it's going to be a pretty seamless process just because they're going to fill pieces, or they're going to fill in slots that we need desperately. Yeah. I'll be curious to see what we do with that final roster spot. I hope it's Dinwiddie.
I think, look, it's funny you say that, and we'll swing back to the actual trade moves that happened here in a little bit. But the Dinwiddie stuff is interesting because, you know, the Mavs trade, and we'll go ahead and get into it anyway. So the Mavs, the first trade news that broke was that they were trading Rashawn Holmes and draft compensation to the Washington Wizards for Daniel Gafford, which is amazing. Now, it was scary at first because like 3 or 4 hours passed where we didn't know what said draft compensation was. Mm-hmm. It was kind of scary there for a little bit, but apparently – If I'm, you know, doing this right, if I'm reading all this right, apparently we traded a pick swap to OKC for their 2024 first round pick. And then that's the pick that was conveyed or sent over to Washington for Gafford.
Okay.
And then the second trade that happened was we sent Seth Curry, Grant Williams, and a lightly protected 2027 first round pick. I think it's top three, maybe protected.
Top two. I read top two.
Yeah, top two protected. So we sent Seth Curry, Grant Williams, and a top two protected pick to the Charlotte Hornets for PJ Washington. And so since we send out three players and we only brought back two, opens up a roster spot. Spencer Dinwiddie got traded from the Brooklyn Nets to the Toronto Raptors. They immediately bought him out because they didn't want, you know, he was about to make almost a $2 million bonus for games played this year. They knew he wasn't part of the plan, so they just went ahead and gave him his buyout. And then all of a sudden last night at Madison Square Garden, you see Dinwiddie sitting behind the Mavs bench. And then, you know, in timeouts, in between timeouts and everything, he's talking to Mark Cuban. And then you take into consideration that Dinwiddie played his best basketball of his career when he was in Dallas, shot nearly 47% from the field, a little over 40% from three during his time here. And then when he was a part of the three-guard rotation with Luka and Jalen Brunson, they went to the Western Conference Finals. So it's even more enticing for him to come back now, because you could have the three-headed guard monster of Luka, Kyrie, Dinwiddie, and then you also have serviceable bigs that you didn't have during that Western Conference Finals run. You've got Derek Lively, you've got Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington. You know, even Maxi Kleba here lately has looked healthy for the first time in like 2 years. Like, he's playing amazing defense. And now his role is going to be suppressed greatly now going forward, but – you know, he's still a big body that's shown that he still has a little bit of life left, you know, after he got his toe sewn back on. So, yeah. So things are looking up for the Mavs. They almost have a fully complete roster And, you know, I on the last trade deadline, or I did a very quick trade deadline recap pod yesterday. And one of the guys that left a comment on that YouTube video was like, well, do we not think that Dante Exum can be the third ball handler instead of Dinwiddie? And, I mean, he can, but he can't create his own shot mm-mm. like Dinwiddie can. And, you know, I think if you can add a guy like Dinwiddie to the bench to run things and you let Exum do what he does best, which is guard on the perimeter, mm-hmm. and, you know, focus all of his energy on that and then just have spot up threes or whatever on the offensive end, I think that will be, you know, best suited for the bench unit going forward if it happens. So we'll see how it goes. All signs point to, you know, Dinwiddie having a second stint with the Mavs, but I wouldn't count out the Los Angeles Lakers either, just because, you know, Dinwiddie's from LA. He's got family in LA. Obviously the Lakers, even though I think it's overblown, they obviously have a natural attraction to certain players. So, and you know, you can't ever discount LeBron trying to recruit guys either. So I think the Lakers are real competition there to potentially sign him, but we'll see how it goes. I think there's a good chance that Dinwiddie ends up in Dallas.
My thing is this: whose bench was he behind last night, baby? Who was he talking to last night with the shameless tampering? Shameless tampering. Just no regard for it.
I love it. I love it. It's funny too, because I don't know how tampering works. I mean, it's free agency. It's the same thing as free agency, but I don't know how that works, because you have a certain period of time where you can't talk to guys. I don't know how that works in season, but it was hilarious regardless.
Like, we're going to call it tampering just because it's funny.
Yeah, and then look, the company. So Spencer, in his last run with the Mavs, he was known as the smoothie guy. You know, he always got smoothies from this local place in Dallas, and brought them on the team plane, got everybody smoothies. Well, that company tagged Dinwiddie in a tweet and was like, hey, if you come back, you have free smoothies for life.
Hell yeah. So, smoothie king, baby.
So he's got some extra incentive there if he wants some free smoothies, as well as having a good fit and a more talented roster than what the Lakers currently have, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So good times right now. I mean, everything, obviously the Mavs have to go out there and the on-court results have to materialize for you to truly deem it a success. But on paper, given the players the Mavs gave up versus the two that they brought in, it just seems like a huge win for the Mavs and Nico Harrison, especially after things looked so grim there for a while. You know, the Mavs had lost like 7 of 10 games. The injuries just kept piling up. You know, Grant Williams, after having expectations of him being the starting four, signing him to that 4-year, I think it was $56 million deal over the summer, or 53, maybe. I think that's right. But, you know, it just didn't work out. It didn't work out. He was too small for what they needed at that position, despite him having, you know, good defensive prowess. But it didn't work out. His offense wasn't there. He just wasn't a great fit. You know, we've heard that he wasn't really – it's not that he caused locker room issues. I think it was just the fact that it was just like a personality thing. I think Grant's kind of like I feel like he could be the guy that's like goofy to an extreme, to a point where it's like it might eventually rub people the wrong way or something. So it's not like he was, you know, in there causing issues about not starting and all that stuff. It's just, I think it was just all personality related. So that's out of the way. You start anew. I mean, you tried something. It didn't work out. It is what it is. Grant's a great guy. And, you know, we'll wish him the best in Charlotte. You know, even though, like we've mentioned before, Charlotte's kind of like the frat house of the NBA. So
And honestly, man, I can't get over the fact, this is going to sound terrible. And like you said, Grant's a great guy. I can't believe Charlotte actually bit. I cannot believe they did this trade. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially, and look, I know people don't, leading up to this deadline, one of my selling points for the Mavs was, let's say, okay, you basically only have one first round pick you can trade, right? But my selling point for that was, it's a 2027 first. So if you're an opposing team and you think there's a chance Luka could potentially leave in 2026, you look at that 27 pick and it's like, oh, well, you know, yeah, maybe we'd be interested in that. But if Luka leaves and that pick is top two protected, the Mavs are 110% going to tank the shit out of that season.
Exactly. I can't believe they agreed to have it top two protected. That's my thing. It would have to be unprotected for me to agree to that.
Like I don't think people realize, oh, man, it's only top two protected. No.
Where are the Hornets going to be at that point in time, too? That's what we have to think about here.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, that I forgot to mention. The Mavs received 2 second-round picks from the Hornets. Mm-hmm. And the Hornets are awful. So, yeah. You know, those two picks are probably going to be in the 30s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not terrible. You know, you have a protected lottery pick. Chances are if Luka stays, you know, it's not going to be a great first-round pick that Charlotte receives. But even if he did leave, you know, there's a good chance you keep the pick. Mm-hmm. And then you get two high-quality second-rounders, in my opinion. But anyway, just the players specifically now. Daniel Gafford. DJ, we have been yearning for this. We have been wanting this for the Mavs for years.
Begging. Years.
Even when the Mavs had Tyson Chandler, you know, the backup center depth wasn't great because we had Brendan Haywood.
Yep.
And, I mean, he was solid, but, you know, he couldn't he really old. Hold on. He fumbled the ball around and everything, you know.
He was ancient. He was a dinosaur at that point.
It was frustrating at times.
I mean, the dude played on the same North Carolina team as Antoine Jameson. Like, the dude was ancient.
Jan Mahimi, you know, he was on that team too, had some spot minutes. But it's like even at the Mavs' peak when they had Tyson Chandler won the championship, they really didn't have a true.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Affordable, or I don't even know, fortifiable, however you want to call it, center rotation. And they have that now. I mean, you have Derek Lively, who is 19 going on 20. He has been incredible all year from day one, starting for the Mavs. Now he's had a couple of unfortunate ankle sprains that have kept him out a few games. And then he recently got whacked in the face by Wendell Carter Jr. from Magic, and it broke his nose, and that's kept him out, you know, a couple games here. But he's been great. And now they went out and got a backup center that's not as tall as Lively, but he's just as long. He's just as athletic. You know, in 26 minutes per game, he's averaging 2.2 blocks per game, 8 rebounds per game. This guy is almost like a carbon copy of Derek Lively, aside from not being 7'1".
Yeah. He's not as skilled either. Let's be honest. He's not as skilled.
Yeah. Overall, he's not as skilled. But just like from an athletic standpoint and the rebounding and everything, all of that is very similar.
He does tall, athletic person shit, which is something that we need. I mean, that's what really as skilled as Lively is. He's made his biggest impact on us doing tall, athletic person shit. So that's what Gafford's going to bring to the table too. So whenever we sub or if we have an injury or something, we don't really – I mean, we will miss Lively, but it's not going to be anywhere near what it was pre-Gafford. Like, we're not going to have to throw Powell in there and just cringe for 48 minutes.
Yeah, I made the joke last night, and I hope I didn't jinx it, but, you know – I was like, I hope Powell enjoys these extended minutes against New York tonight because
It's over with now.
He's not going to get very many minutes going forward. He is Dwight Powell, you know, great guy. He's going to be a good cheerleader going forward now, unless there's
the T-Rex is finally extinct. It's over with.
So Daniel Gafford obviously going to help out a bunch. Him and Lively, what I like is they've played a similar amount of minutes per game. So, you know, neither one of them is going to be overburdened. You can play each of them 24 minutes a game if you want to, and it'll be fine. You know, you'll keep them. That'll probably keep them from
getting hurt
too. So, that is amazing. The Mavs center position is set. And then, you know, they needed the starting four, and you got that with PJ Washington. Now, you know, tall wise, you know, he's 6'7", 6'7", 6'8", but he's long. He's
bigger.
He's long.
Plays way bigger than that. He plays way bigger than that. Again, he's skilled. He's athletic. He can guard multiple positions because of that athleticism and length. If you have to absolutely go small, which makes me cringe because we've been doing that for the last forever.
He can play small ball five.
Yeah, but he can be a really good small ball five. Honestly, man, like just in general, the pieces are here now. Like we have a fairly complete roster. If we bring in Dinwiddie, it's set. Like we're set. Now the pressure is on Jason Kidd.
Absolutely.
At what point do we hold him accountable now? Like, it'll be really interesting to see what he does going forward because now there are no more excuses. Now you have size. Now you have depth. You have shooting. You have everything you need to win. What's stopping you?
Yep. Yeah, I think that was said perfectly. There are no more excuses. In so many of these press conferences this year, especially after some of these deflating losses where the Mavs have just gotten their tails kicked in some of these blowouts, you know, he's harped on it in the media about how small the Mavs are and how, you know, they have to play this way because they've just been small. There's no excuse for it anymore.
Not anymore.
So I think you're right. I think we're going to really see, you know, what Jason Kidd can do in these last, I think there's 31 games left in this regular season and then into the postseason. And if he doesn't, you know, if he underperforms with this roster he has now, I think you really have to consider making a coaching change going into the offseason and starting new with this batch of guys and see how it goes. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, when Kidd had a bunch of really good wing defenders or a couple of really good wing defenders and had Dinwiddie, Luka, and Brunson in 2022, they went to the Western Conference Finals. So, I mean, and he was actually coaching them well on the defensive end during that run too. So we'll see if he can replicate that with this roster here. And again, like you said, you know, assuming Dinwiddie does sign with the Mavs, and I think he would be smart to do so based on fit and, you know, how the rest of this roster is constructed, he really could be that final piece that that kind of puts the Mavs over the top. So we'll see. Look, I've seen a lot of people kind of second guessing the PJ Washington stuff just because he's shooting 32.4% from three this season. Y'all, I don't care what you say. I don't care if Washington is shooting, like, I think it's 6% lower from three than Grant Williams was this year. He's a better player than Grant Williams.
He does so much more.
He's more versatile. He has more potential because of his physical attributes. He is a career 36% three-point shooter. He was just not having a good year in Charlotte. He was kind of checked out. And honestly, if I was playing in Charlotte, I would be checked out by this point too. Yep. They're not going anywhere. You know, in the offseason, this was the guy that we kind of pushed for. We were hoping that this is the guy they would sign and trade. You know, we thought Grant Williams would be a good option too, but we preferred PJ Washington, and it just didn't, you know, it just didn't materialize. So here we are several months later, and PJ Washington is a Dallas Maverick. He averages, or this season, he's averaging 13.6 points, 5.3 rebounds, 2.2 assists, almost 45% from the field, and 32.4% from three. And again, playing alongside Luka and Kyrie, I saw somebody tweet this last night, but the Mavs have guard play that PJ Washington has never seen before.
Yeah.
This is something that's completely new to him. And honestly, it's new to Daniel Gafford too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a moment in time where Spencer Dinwiddie and Daniel Gafford played together on the Wizards, and they had some pretty good a good two-man game going there. I posted some clips of that on my Twitter page last night. So, you know, he's that's about the extent of what Gafford has played with. Dinwiddie when he was a much higher option on the totem pole in there in Washington. So both of these guys playing alongside Luka and Kyrie, it's going to be incredible to see. And I think it's going to have a ripple effect going down the roster to where other guys play well because of this. But yeah, look, I'm not going to set it in stone in a prediction, but I don't think PJ Washington's going to shoot 32% from three in Dallas. It's going to be, he's about to get a percentage spike.
Well, it happens with everyone who plays with Luka. I mean, we saw that with Dorian Finney-Smith. We've seen that with other players. And
Tim Hardaway Jr., look at his numbers before he came to Dallas.
Exactly. Luka just makes people better around him. And so you can expect at least a slight improvement. I think so.
Yeah. And what's great about all this is, like, these two guys are right in Luka's timeline. They're both 25 years old. Luka is 24. He's about to turn 25 himself. This is a core now that you can grow with Luka going forward and continue to build chemistry and get better. Like, this is – now, Kyrie, he's 31, and we're not sure, you know, where that situation goes after the two seasons after this. But other than that, it's set. You've got your four foundational pieces – you know, in Luka, PJ Washington, Derek Lively, and then you have Gafford as your backup center. Really five if you consider Josh Green, because they just signed him to a three-year extension, and he's been playing amazing. So it's really exciting times for the Mavs, and the potential of what this could be is great. It makes you feel good. It's a lot better than how we were feeling a week or so ago when they were losing, when they had lost, you know, 7 out of 10 games, and seems like every time you turn around, Luka's spraining his ankle, or Derek Lively's getting his nose broke, Kyrie's out with a thumb sprain, you know, all this other stuff. Now things have changed, and I don't want to set expectations too high for this first game where Washington and Gafford we'll see how the physical stuff goes today. But they could be available against OKC tomorrow, and that's a 2 p.m. tip-off time. I'm not going to set the expectations too high, but you know, if they look as good as I think they will, if it's as seamless of a transition as I think it will be, you know, I think we could really, it's a good place to start. It's a good measuring stick to see how this newly constructed roster fares against one of the top teams in the West in the OKC Thunder. It'll be, because the Thunder have been lights out this season. They're incredible. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's an MVP candidate. You know, Chet Holmgren has lived up to the hype after missing what should have been his rookie season last year. He's been incredible. I mean, that team is stacked with young talent, and it'll be a great measuring stick for the Mavs, who have kind of they haven't closed the gap completely, but they've gotten younger and they've gotten more potential than what they had 24 hours ago. So, DJ, anything else before we take off here? Any other last-second trade takes?
It's a good day to be a Maverick, but I'm still anxious to see. And, you know, we're taking one thing at a time, but I'm always looking to the future. I'll be anxious to see what moves we make in the summer, honestly, because I think we're set up to make some really spectacular moves this summer.
I think so, too. You have the pieces to do it. I know people are – saying, oh, well, you know, the Mavs don't control their draft capital from 2027 to 2030 or something like that. But it's like the reason they don't is because they have a young, talented core with potential all on long-term contracts right now. You take that over potential draft stuff 10 times out of 10. Now, if you're like the Chicago Bulls and you're stuck in mediocrity, you're on the mediocrity treadmill, then you have more incentive to hold on to all of your future picks if you can, or to trade off all your players for picks. This is not the situation the Mavs are in.
So, I'm going to tell you what, if the Chicago Bulls want to trade Coby White, we need to look at it. He's playing well.
Amazing.
He's a most improved player candidate, I think. I think he's got it on lock, if you want me to be honest.
Look, I have a lot of, like, hot takes when it comes to potential trades and stuff. And before the Mavs got Kyrie, the one guy that I was always, like, thinking, oh, the Mavs should probably get him is Zach LaVine. I was dead wrong on that. I'm glad that didn't happen because he's had knee issues. He had season-ending knee surgery, and he's on a huge contract. And now Coby White looks like the face of the franchise the way he's been playing.
Now, he's taken some major steps forward. You know, kudos to him. But also a thing about LaVine is I've read – and you can't believe everything you read, but I've read in some places where he's a locker room cancer. And we can't afford for that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I look – As nice as Coby White would be, I think if the Bulls are set on, you know, trying to trade, I saw where they tried to get like two first round picks for Alex Caruso. So if that's their asking price for Caruso, I'd hate to see what it is for Coby White right now.
It'd be insanely high.
Even more shocking than the two first round picks, I saw a report where they tried to get Golden State to trade them Jonathan Kuminga. For Alex Caruso, and it's like, what?
At this stage, Kuminga is untouchable. No one is going to be able to pry him away.
He's another guy that's really taken out. The young talent around this league is unreal right now.
Oh, yeah.
Luka said that he went on J.J. Redick's podcast, The Old Man in Three, yesterday, and I think he was talking about it too. He was just like, people don't understand just like the insane level of especially offensive talent that's in the league right now. It's unreal. People are saying, nobody plays defense. They're trying to.
Yeah.
But the offensive talent level is so great. It's just like, what can you do?
I saw this clip from one of J.J. Redick's podcasts, and he said, you know, people are bitching about, you know, defensive efficiency or whatever, but here's the issue. You've got – I forget what the percentage rise in threes taken per game is, but it's insane. And the reason that it's insane is because your percentage of drives have actually gone up as well. And so you're getting a lot more inside-out action. It's not just people swinging it around the horn, jacking threes. That's not what we're doing here. It's actually pretty decent offensive basketball. Okay. Yeah. Now, the way that the game is called now is a little bit different from an officiating standpoint. And I do agree that that will impact it slightly, but the skill level is absolutely insane right now. I mean, you got 7-footers out here that can dribble like guards. We've never seen anything like that before. Well, I guess we have once, but then he got hurt in Ralph Sampson, and he wasn't even at that level. Yeah. So, you know,
it's going to get even crazier.
It's out of this world right now. And the scary thing is it's only going to get crazier.
That's what I was saying. Because, I mean, I can't believe how good Wembanyama has already looked in year one. And I just get to thinking, okay, well, when he gets in the weight room like Giannis did,
he's unstoppable.
I don't know what anybody's gonna do with him.
If he stays healthy, I'm pretty sure I said this before the draft. If he stays healthy and he puts on weight, he is going to change the game of basketball as we know it.
Well, I hope the Mavs have enough talent and make enough of a push to win a championship or two before he gets to his peak, because that's going to be a bear to have in division.
Yeah, and I mean, they may as well. I hope it also depends on how long Pop can last as well, because if you're able to keep Pop and you're able to get Wembanyama to his prime, it's going to be hell. It's going to be absolute hell.
Maybe the Spurs GM can make a few missteps when putting people around Wembanyama on that roster, and maybe it can delay his true dominance for at least a few more years. And
well, I'm going to be honest with you, his teammates already do that. He's got some really selfish teammates, dude. Yeah. I mean, you got Wembanyama who's over here like, you know, I'm 7'4" and I can do everything, and then everybody else is like, holy shit, I'm on TV. You know, so I mean,
biggest example of that, and I know we're going down a rabbit hole here, but I saw there was a game a few nights ago where I forgot who they were playing, but they had a chance to win. They were only down by one, and they had the ball at the end. And I think it was, is it Devin Vassell?
Yeah.
Vassell, am I saying that right?
I think so, yeah.
But he had the ball at the top of the key. And Wembanyama was rolling to the basket. He was wide open. Like, he could have just lobbed it up, and they win the game easy. The easiest lay-in dunk you would have ever seen. And he ended up shooting the three from the top, and it clanked, and they lost.
Selfish.
And I was like,
selfish. Just selfish.
But hey, as a Dallas Mavericks enthusiast, keep doing that, Spurs. We enjoy that.
I know, but as a basketball enthusiast, it pisses me off.
It was very annoying. You could see when Wembanyama was very upset with how that happened too. But
like, if I'm Pop, I'm demanding that you trade the whole damn team besides Wembanyama, because this isn't happening.
To put into context how good he's been this year, I feel like if the Spurs even had like a decent record, he might have a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to win that with just how awful the Spurs have been record-wise this year. But him individually has been incredible. You know, it's like that meme where you see the Ferrari under the garage of the really crappy carport.
Yeah.
It's like the rundown, the abandoned house or whatever. That's the Spurs and Wembanyama right now.
Yep.
Well, guys, look, we appreciate y'all coming in and listening to us talk about the Mavs and, you know, their win over the Knicks and the trade deadline moves, and we're hoping there's an announcement about Spencer Dinwiddie. He clears waivers Saturday afternoon, so or sometime around 4 or 5, I think, Saturday afternoon. So we will be on alert for that and see how it goes. He has a lot of reasons to sign with the Mavs. My personal opinion, and I know I'm kind of biased, but I feel like he has more reasons to sign with the Mavs over the Lakers. But, you know, we'll see what he ends up deciding. We'll see if Mark Cuban, you know, took him to a good breakfast spot this morning and continued his tampering.
Hell yeah. Tamper the hell out of him, Mark. We need him.
Guys, appreciate it. Y'all be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. hit that subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Leave us likes and comments. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your opinions on what the Mavs did at the trade deadline and the potential of signing Spencer Dinwiddie and all that other stuff. So if you have a take, leave it in the comments, and we'd love to hear from you guys. Appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.